Starting today and continuing over the next 2 weeks, we'll be going through the second and third chapters of the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be taking time to learn about the necessity of peace, the mystery of grace, and the significant power of communicating with God in prayer. And for those of you who are familiar, the end of the third chapter contains a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the people of Ephesus. It forms a bridge between understanding our identity as believers in Jesus Christ to the practical outworking of that identity, the practical outworking of our faith in everyday life, including life as a church family, our household life, our working life, and all of it which must be contended through continual formation according to the Word of God and prayer. The reason why we're stopping at the end of Ephesians 3 this time is to allow the message from the first half of the book to sink deep within us. In fact, during 2021, the prayer that is contained at the end of chapter 3 will be our theme verses for this year. We'll end each of these messages by using this prayer as our benediction. It's a prayer that I invite you to pray regularly, even daily, on behalf of others, for us as a church family, and for our community. We need the power of God's peace and His grace in these days. I think you would agree. Today, we want to learn about the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding, goes beyond our belief, beyond our ability to ask or imagine. Peace is possible. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Therefore, okay, stop right there for a minute. Whenever you see this word therefore mentioned, it is wise to look to see what it is there for. It's a summarizing statement that takes into consideration what has come previous to what we're about to read. So, let's go back to the beginning of chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is really important for us to keep in mind. Sometimes we can lose track of the value with which God views us and the extent to which He is willing to demonstrate that value and the means by which He redeems us and instills that value within us. The first chapter of Ephesians and the beginning of chapter 2 underscore the intentional and all-encompassing love of God toward all people. And it really serves as a reminder that we are to live and function out of a gratitude from this love first demonstrated to us, initiated by God to us, and demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, let's go back to our passage in chapter 2, starting again in verse 11. And as we do, let's notice that apart from developing a relationship with Jesus Christ, we live in a disconnected world. Let's look. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. If we didn't understand what this disconnectedness felt like before, I think many of us certainly do now. On a simple visit to the postal outlet this week, the clerk shared with me her struggles with anxiety, her lack of peace in regard to the increasing demands of her job and the decreasing patience of people. She said, "It's been like Christmas season here since last March. I've loved my job for a number of years, but it's getting harder to make it through each day trying to be pleasant to people while still having some energy to care for my family." She's a woman for whom peace seems hidden or distant. I think many of us can feel like that. You know, certainly parents with school-age children who need supervision and assistance for online schooling while still looking after work responsibilities, it can be very frustrating and peace-taking. In a home like ours, where there are 4 grown adults in tight living quarters, there are definitely days where peace seems hard to find. We get it. This past week, we held another Zoom call between local pastors and our mayor. You know, it's been our desire over the course of this year in particular to be an encouragement to him and his staff and to be intentional to listen to their perspective and to be praying for them in their roles. During our call this week, Mayor Mike mentioned the increasing demands of leading effectively 2 different cities, one city being their regular duties and responsibilities and the other being what he calls the COVID city, with its own unique challenges and tensions. Among the consequential effects of the prolonged lockdown is the rise in mental health issues, which stem in part from the inability of people to connect socially. In their previous regular rhythms like they had been, that some people are missing that. And so for many, peace seems like a memory. Pastors, many of my peers, some of them my friends, are not immune. Many are growing impatient at the perceived illogical policies that restrict gatherings. Their voices of peace are growing softer and weary amid the confusing times of caring for people. The sustained increased rate of COVID-19 cases, particularly across densely populated cities in our province and across the country, are taxing the health, energy, and capacity of our healthcare workers. While some of us are just now becoming aware to the seriousness of their circumstance, they are valued people who are struggling to be at peace. So many, too many, in my opinion, looked upon the events at last week's inauguration of the 46th President of the United States from a brokenness of spirit, a desire for change, and a hope for an end to their national discord. While in our own country, the Governor General resigned because of a lack of peace, the presence of hostility in her working environment. These are challenging days at all levels where many feel as though we are outsiders looking in on a world that seems both familiar and yet strange. Even the best of us find these questions occupying space in our mind. Questions like, is God absent? Is God indifferent? Is God angry? Is God accessible? And with these questions echoing sometimes as a persistent whisper, sometimes as a dizzying shout, we begin to look for solutions in other places. There is a rise in domestic abuse in our communities. There is a rise in the working poor. There is a rise in opioid and alcohol addiction. There is a rise in pornography usage. Some have placed their hopes in the shifting foundations of a vaccine. Others in political leaders and government agendas. It's as though we are looking for meaning that doesn't seem like it wants to be found. We're living as people without true hope and without God in this world. And that's what makes these words of Paul in verse 13 so important. But now he starts. But now is an understanding of the alienation, the separation, the loneliness, the isolation, and the desperation that many of us can feel. Yet it is a pivot point. It's a call to make a choice, to turn in a different direction, the direction of Jesus Christ. Paul says there is good news, and that good news is peace. And peace, notice he says, comes with a cost. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The deep, long-lasting solutions for you and I and the world in which we live will first and foremost be shaped through people of peace. A peace that is given through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Our redeeming purposes have been paid for through the shedding of his blood upon the cross of Calvary. As we read through the Bible, we understand that Christ's shedding of blood does a number of things for us. It cleanses our minds, our consciences, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9. It says that we can develop our capacity to be transformed from our sinful characteristics in the past. It says in 1 John chapter 1, we can fight off the deceptions of evil. It talks about in Revelation. It's only by the shedding of blood that our sins are forgiven, says Peter in his first book. Through remembrance and honor of the shed blood of Jesus, we get to refocus on his eternal kingdom purposes. That's what happens, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that peace is delivered to us. It brings us connectedness, wholeness, and stability from which we function with purpose. And it brings positive kingdom influence to those around us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, peace is possible. Notice here as we continue in verses 14 to 22, for he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, if you have a pen or you want to grab a highlighter tool from your Bible app, let me invite you to circle these words. He himself is our peace. Peace is who he is. It's not just a function of what he does. It's not part of his job description. Peace is the essence of the character of Jesus. Do you lack peace? Do those who you come in contact with lack peace? Are there groups of people who sow division and conflict in our world under the guise of peace? Does our world need peace? You know, peace from a cultural point of view seems beyond belief. And if we were only to look at the solutions within a world that is growing in its refusal to look to God, then true peace will not be possible in our time. But it doesn't diminish the eternal promises of peace for the world, for those who acknowledge Christ as a Savior as their lives, receiving salvation as a gift of grace. When we stop to look at Jesus, then everything changes. In the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5, we read these words, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd the flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely for them. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. He will be our peace. That's what the angels announced to the shepherds at his birth. This is so important for us to understand, that the one who will come from Bethlehem to be the shepherd of all people according to the strength and for the glory of God, Jesus, is that one who is our peace. You know, going back just a little bit further into the book of Isaiah, and in keeping with this Christmas theme, if you will, you read in Isaiah chapter 9 that a kingdom will come, and that kingdom will be ruled by one who is called the Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. See, peace is not only his character, it is also his mandate for all the people of the world. Now, knowing that peace is possible is just information. It might be helpful for some, but it may not be too practical for others. Fortunately for us, God in his wisdom also gave us a very practical guide to help us understand how his peace is made known to us in Christ Jesus. God understands that many of us can be disheartened by injustice, discouraged by the hurts that we've faced, fearful because of the wounds that we've absorbed, broken by the senselessness of the world at times, fatigued by the limitations of our own physical bodies. The lie we believe is that those things keep us apart from God, make us unworthy of his love and purpose. However, it is through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, by which we are drawn close to God. Most of the time, you know, in our sanitized sanctuaries, or for some, the jewelry we might wear, we look upon a clean cross. The craftsmanship is beautiful, but there's a temptation in forgetting that the struggle that was forged through the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can forget about that. In our Bibles, let me encourage you to read through Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. It speaks of the punishment that would be absorbed by Jesus. And as you read through it, let me encourage you to distinctively mark out and keep track of all the things that happened to Jesus, and also then how it speaks about you and I. There is a great difference there. In so doing, you'll read things like this, that we are the ones who are prone to wander, but he is the one who carried our grief. He has taken on our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He took on our sickness, the sickness of our sin. And in the midst of all of this, you'll read that he endured the punishment that we deserved in order to bring us peace. And with that peace comes stability, a firm foundation. With that peace comes comfort. With that peace comes strength. With that peace comes renewal of hope. And with that peace comes healing. With that peace comes a restored community. With that peace comes new life through welcome and forgiveness. Peace is possible only through the cross of Jesus, and only because of his blood sacrificially given for us. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." The way we demonstrate our belonging to God is through our love for peace. Let me share it with you in the PDP translation, the Pastor Dave Persad version. Blessed are those who have a longing for connectedness to God, for their relationship with God will be revealed through their lives. We live and move among a community looking for deep, abiding peace. In our silence and our lack of engagement, they're turning to unfulfilling alternatives. It may be that you struggle with peace and realize now that you perhaps have taken your eyes off the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. Let me encourage you today to do one of six things. Number one, fix your attention on the cross where Jesus died. Number two, confess the barrier that exists between you and God, which is robbing you of that peace. Number three, discover the means by which God broke through that barrier that exists in your life so that you can discover the peace that He desires to give you. Number four, receive the peace of Jesus. He is our peace. Thank God for that and ask Him to build your life upon the foundation of peace. Number five, get connected to a community or a group of people who share those same goals. And if it needs to be us, we'd more than welcome you. Number six, be aware of others who are searching for peace. Journey with them, listen to them, point them to Jesus because He is our peace and only through Him is peace possible. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we ask forgiveness, God, for forgetting the significance of His suffering, of His blood shed for us, that we might have peace. We need peace. There are different aspects of our life where we are struggling to find that peace. And so, God, would You break down the barrier that exists between us and the peace that is available through Jesus Christ? Would You break down the barriers of hostility that exists in our communities? Father, would You instill peace? Would You use us to point people towards the peace that is available of Jesus? Because so many are struggling with a lack of peace. May we be people of peace. Would we reflect the peace that only You provide to those who we encounter? And would You lead us in that way? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for taking the time, setting aside time to listen to God's word, to bring your questions before Him. And I trust that He's been able to encourage you, hopefully challenge you, but to draw you closer to Him. And if there's a way that we could be of help, then feel free to contact us. And if you're watching or listening today before the afternoon of January 24th, then we would love to see you come by at our food drive between 1 and 3 p.m. And if not, then you can certainly contribute. You can participate in bringing peace in the name of Jesus in a very practical means by giving online. And the information will be on our contact page at the end of this. But for now, let me share with you this benediction that comes from the end of chapter 3. This prayer for us and our prayer for our church family, prayer for our community. For this reason, Paul writes, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's peace-needy people said, Amen. Amen. I heard that. Thank you so much for joining with us. Keep well, wash your hands, and let's go make a kingdom difference.